David, good morning.
Good morning.
So we do see a pretty drastic gender gap in chess. How do men and women compare when it comes to participation and performance?
Well, chess has always been known really as a male-dominated sport or mind sport, which I guess is why the Queen's Gambit is such an interesting show, because the main protagonist is a female who conquers the chess world. But in reality, throughout chess's history, we've never seen a female conquer the game. And we see differences not just in performance at the top, but like you mentioned, Stefan, large participation differences. So in tournament chess around the world, typically roughly around 10% of players are female. And we see that throughout all the levels, even starting at the junior ranks. So there's something going on.
Now, it seems to be a little tough to sort of figure this out, because compared to a lot of other sports, chess seems to be a pretty inclusive game. You know, people of all ages can play. People can be grandmasters at the age of 10 and things like that. And it's very accessible to people of limited physical ability. And things like rankings are based, you know, pretty objectively on winning and losing. Is that a fair assessment of chess, or is there anything else when it comes to sort of accessibility, inclusivity?
Oh, absolutely. You're right. I think that's one of the reasons why it's become such an interesting domain for researchers to get into, and also pub pundits as well, because chess is a game where you sit down and you've got the same pieces. It doesn't really matter who's sitting opposite you, whether they're 6'5" or whether they're 7 years old or 7 years old, or male, female, or rich or poor. So it is the great equalizer for a cognitive battle. And I guess that's why it's so interesting to study it if you're a researcher or a social psychologist, or you're interested in gender issues overall. But it's not entirely fair once you get into the details. And one of the things with the gender gap I find is that if it's brought up to somebody and you think about it for the first time, like a lot of your listeners are now, it's very easy to immediately have one explanation that comes to your mind and you latch onto it, because a lot of the different hypotheses that are put forward, they're quite intuitive and quite appealing to explain the story. But it turns out that actually, once you get into the research, it's an incredibly complicated topic. And it seems like there are probably lots of little factors that are affecting things in different ways, and it's hard to compare those sort of effects as well. So as you mentioned, it's not entirely clear that it's a completely level playing field, because we find that a lot of girls are playing at young ages in particular, and then we see the participation rates start to drop off, and there's got to be some reasons for that sort of drop off, and that's where these cultural and social sort of factors come into play.
Right, so we'll get onto that in a second, but what are some of these, you know, previous to your research and previous to thinking about these things in a little more depth, what are some of the sort of more surface level reasons given for this gender gap?
Well, if we go back throughout history, when I guess we didn't know as much about gender, and it was a fairly male-dominated environment in general for research, as well as politics and chess and things like this, there were comments that, well, just men are just smarter than women. They have higher IQs, and that sort of explains it. And I mean, that's more or less been debunked now. A slightly more nuanced version of that is that what's called the male variability hypothesis, which is the idea that, well, on average, males and females have the same cognitive abilities, but just that males are a lot more varied. You've got a lot more of the really smart ones and a lot more of the really not so smart ones, which is why you've got more than 90% of Fortune 500 companies that are male CEOs, but also more than 90% of prison inmates are males. But that doesn't seem to be the case in chess either, and you can do some sophisticated statistical analysis to look into that. So it doesn't seem that there's anything really strongly biological going on, although there are some biological differences that matter. We know that in general, males are more competitive than females, and in general, males are more able to take risks than females. But chess is not really a game where it seems like being a great risk taker helps you that much. In fact, one of the main skills that we say that chess helps to teach children, why it's such a great game for children, is that it teaches you patience and forethought, and not just going with your aggressive instincts, but actually planning ahead. So it's really unclear whether anything biological can possibly explain this gap.
Okay. And in an article that you recently penned, you identified something called a stereotype threat. Can you tell us about what this is and how it's sort of come to exist in the game of chess?
Yeah, so this is one of the most popular topics in social psychology in recent decades. And the first study was back in 1995. It was actually looking at African-Americans versus non-African-Americans in the US and going in for essentially their high school exams to go into colleges and universities. And they found that African-Americans who were told beforehand, oh, hey, this is a test where your group doesn't do particularly well, they would then perform worse on it. And that was kind of striking, that just knowing about these stereotypes can actually affect performance. There have been over 300 studies since then in different domains, entrepreneurship, a lot to do with school exams going down all the way to primary school. And so the idea is that, well, in chess, if you grow up as a young boy or a young girl playing and you go to tournaments and you look around, you'll see one female for every 100 males. You start to think to yourself, well, this is a pretty male-dominated domain. There must be a reason for that. Maybe it's just a game that guys are good at and girls aren't. And if you get that inside your head, it might affect you when you play. We've done lots of kind of interesting studies to see whether this is the case. Because in chess, you know exactly what the objective strength of your opponent is. We're given rankings, which are these numbers by the International Chess Federation. So you know if you're sitting down against a 20-year-old man or a 14-year-old girl or a 7-year-old pensioner, you know exactly how strong they are. So it shouldn't affect your performance, what they look like or their gender. But we find that on average, females play a little bit worse than they're capable of when they're sitting down against a male compared to when they're sitting down against a female.
Yeah, right. And you also recently did some research sort of analysing, you know, thousands of chess matches. Tell us a bit about that research and what you found.
Yeah, it's become more and more interesting for researchers to get into using chess data to explain non-chess-related phenomena like this stereotype threat or gender differences. And that's because the databases we looked at have actually got millions of games in there. And because we know exactly what the strength of the players are and we can track them over time, we can do a lot of interesting stuff. So there was a paper that came out in a top psychology journal 2 years ago that claimed that women actually get a positive stereotype threat, that they actually perform better against females. And what we did was we reanalyzed all this data and we took into account the fact that on average, females in the chess world are a little bit younger than males, actually by about a decade or so. And we did a whole bunch of stuff to try and prove that, well, in actual fact, when women play against men, they do perform less than they're capable of. And that's a really strong effect. But we also show that it's still not totally clear what explains this gender difference, whether it's whether we're talking about performance or participation, and there's a lot more work to be done. So really, what we wanted to do in this paper is say, well, here's a great methodology. We've got millions of games in chess. We've got this fantastic domain where we can test these really interesting theories, but also here are a bunch of different ideas that might explain this where we haven't done enough research. And I think at the end of the day, like, the most important thing for me is not the academic question about males versus females in terms of their potential. What's more interesting for me is what's happening at the primary school level, because we know that chess is really great for kids' cognitive development. And if there are girls and parents of daughters who want to play chess, but there's something like stereotypes or social factors that are putting them off so they don't do it, well, that's not a good situation for anyone. So that's where we can try to come up with some lessons that we can tell educators and policymakers to try to encourage them to keep playing if they want to.
Yeah, great. And finally, shows like The Queen's Gambit, obviously been hugely popular, brought chess into the mainstream. What does female participation and performance sort of look like now as compared to 20 years ago, 10 years ago? And how might you see this gender gap changing or altering in the future? Can you make any predictions based on what you know in your research?
Yeah, well, it's definitely been getting better in terms of female participation over the decades. It's gone from 5% around the year 2000 to almost 15% today, which is pretty good, but it's also, you'd say, well, that's pretty slow progress as well. And if you look across countries around the world, it's vastly different. So some of the countries like Denmark and Sweden, you'd think they'd be standouts for female participation, but they're actually languishing around 1% or 2% in terms of their female participation. However, the trend is going up. And like you said, shows like The Queen's Gambit, where you've got a strong female protagonist, might have an impact. And actually, just a couple of months ago, a really interesting study came out where they showed that for females thinking about going into STEM subjects, so science, technology, and mathematics, if they had a female role model, a female lecturer in STEM rather than a male lecturer, they were much more likely to go down that career path. So it seems like having some sort of strong role models makes a difference. And shows like The Queen's Gambit, which I know it's only a TV show, but it attracted 60 million viewers in its first week. It was widely popular. That might be the sort of thing that actually speeds up this trend.
Wow. So much to think about. And, I mean, I'm not much of a chess player myself, but it's a fascinating endeavor. It's a fascinating game, such history. And, I don't know, it's one of these such mentally challenging games that has just sort of stood the test of time and brought these real sort of people into the limelight. It's a fascinating subject. David, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Stefan.